for the benefit of our guests.
Thanks. For the benefit of those of you that are new here and you raised your hand earlier, it's just great to have you with us this morning. My name's Dave, and I'm the senior pastor here for about the next 20 minutes. Longer if I talk slowly. For our guests, I don't know if you could have selected a better Sunday to be with us than this morning, because as Jim mentioned, today is a historic moment in the history of this church as we move to both ordain and install Jared Mellinger as our new senior pastor, which for this church consummates an extensive process that has involved prayer, that has involved evaluation by those inside the church, on the pastoral team, those outside the church, through sovereign grace. There has been consultation with the members of the church as well. So this has been a cooperative effort that has delivered us to this moment on this very morning. And we are so excited that we're here. But before I continue, I just refuse to take those final steps until I have one final opportunity to say thanks. Because apart from my wedding and the birth of my four children, that meeting on Friday night was the most memorable night of my life and of Kim's life. And for each of you that were a part of it, for each of you that prayed for this weekend and prayed for that night in particular, for all of you that attended or those that were unable to attend and sent word through email or you grabbed me out in the hallway, and for all of you that contributed letters to the book that was bound and handed to us that evening, I didn't realize what it was. I just thought the guys had written us letters earlier in the week and read them to us when we were out celebrating with the pastors and wives on Tuesday night. So I just thought it was their letters. I didn't realize it contained letters from so many of you. And just yesterday, I began leafing through it, and I was overwhelmed as I began realizing what this represented and the amount of work that it took. So my heart is just so full. I haven't even read them yet. But the fact that you would go to the effort, my heart is so full this morning. Last night, we spent the evening at the Townhouse Restaurant in Media with my family, and there was about 13 of us around a table, and we just ordered food and enjoyed talking about what God had done the previous evening. And then at one point, my kids had arranged to stand up and to honor me and honor their mom as well. And it was as meaningful as everything that took place on Friday night. In fact, after my son Tyler shared, I learned I am a crier. Because that was the effect. And so I'm just trying to say thank you, because you all together, my family and my church family and the pastoral team and wives, you have etched a memory of affection and appreciation upon my brain that I will treasure for the rest of my life. So thank you. Also, there's just a few people that fall into the category of impossible for me to thank enough. Okay, just a few people. So if you'll indulge me just one more time, I want to give one final opportunity for all of us to thank the following people. I'm going to ask them to stand. Please restrain your applause. I'm going to ask them to stand, and then we can express our thanks to God for them all together. Okay, so first, Ken, I'd like to ask Ken and Beth Mellinger to stand. Ken and Beth Mellinger for birthing our next senior pastor. Yeah. We knew that was her, Ken. You don't need to point to her. Do we look dumb? No. For enduring, and this points to you, Ken, for enduring his teenage lunacy and for being patient parents, applying the gospel so that we can now enjoy and experience the fruit of your labors. So we want to honor you in just a second. Also, I want to ask Megan Mellinger to stand up. That's Jared's wife, Megan, who is enduring Jared's adult lunacy. And you are to be honored for that. Aaron Sutherland needs to stand up as well for serving me and serving Covenant Fellowship Church patiently and tirelessly as the AA or the secretary to the senior pastor. Now, her role has changed because I informed them that if Aaron's not coming with me, then you're all fired. And I was able to get her in that way. And I'm grateful to God. It seemed to work. So Aaron has served this church as the secretary to the senior pastor. Now she'll be serving Sovereign Grace and continuing to serve me, but she'll no longer be serving as the secretary to the senior pastor. So I want to honor her as well. And I want the world's finest pastoral team and your wives to stand as well so that we can express our appreciation for you. So guys, with your wives, stand up. And then would Kim and Tyler and Elise and Asa and Shelby stand up as well. Folks, this is the team that has worked behind the scenes for all these years to deliver us to this moment. And they are worthy of our honor. And I want to ask you to thank God now through your applause for these people. Well done. Well, at this time, I'd like to invite the pastoral team up on stage and ask Jared as well to take his place on the stage. As I open God's word now to address the charge to Jared Mellinger. The charge is going to come from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Jared, you could take your mark right there. This is a charge that is delivered from God's word on behalf of all of us through me to Jared. And so it's going to be aimed at Jared. I will attempt to draw us all into the experience, but it's aimed at Jared. And we've chosen this text because we feel this is the one that the Spirit of God wants to impress upon Jared's mind at this moment so that it can guide him for years to come in executing this most important responsibility. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, Jared, this charge can be organized under three simple commands, three simple commands that lay claim to all pastors, but I think are going to have a special significance for you this morning. You are charged from God's word, from 1 Timothy chapter 4, to practice. You are charged to proclaim, and you are charged to persist. Let me spell out the meaning of each of those from God's word, beginning with practice. Jared, you are charged to practice. Now, while you are undoubtedly the most mature 28-year-old I have ever met, certainly light years ahead of me when I took over this church at the age of 29, your age is no excuse for a lack of godly living. There is to be no absence of application in your life, either in public or in private. In fact, on the contrary, Paul says in verse 12, let no one despise you for your youth, but on the contrary, in a sense, he says, set the believers an example. So people perceive you as being youthful. The call from God's word is, okay, set an example then. Set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. In fact, he goes on to say in verse 15, practice these things, devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Practice them. It doesn't say perfect them, it says practice them. That is supposed to be a characterizing quality of your ministry. Your life is to be a model of application. Your life is to be a model of practice. That's why Paul uses the phrase set an example, so that people can see that you're a man of practice, so that they can observe the fruit of practice in your life, in your marriage, and in your home. See, Jared, pastoral ministry is not just downloading doctrine onto other people. It's not simply teaching truth devoid of application. It's offering people a living illustration of your attempts to apply God's word, your attempts to practice what you believe. And it is your practice in the categories that Paul outlines for Timothy right here in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity that qualify you to lead this congregation. And as you do practice, what you will discover is that God will give you influence over these godly people because they will observe that there is content behind what you believe, that there is a substance to your character, that this is not simply something you merely proclaim, but this is something that you apply and believe. So, Jared, practice. Leadership in ministry is unlike any other venue. You can be in the military, you can be in politics, you can be in corporate America, and you can lead in different ways than Scripture calls a person to lead. You can lead by seeking to coerce people to do what they're supposed to do. You can apply pressure on them. You can play with their salaries. You can do a number of things to get people to go in the direction that you want them to go in. But the church is an entirely different paradigm. In the church, you must influence sheep that have been entrusted to you without seeking to coerce them, without ever seeking to pressure them. And you must influence them by the strength of your humility, by your clarity of the gospel, and by your application and your example. They see that it works for you, and they see you then as a man who is willing and is worthy to be followed. Jared, practice. Practice these things. So much of your authority springs from persuading people that what you're preaching actually works in your life. It works out in your life. It works out in your marriage. It works out in your family as well. So that you can say, along with Paul, as he spoke to the Ephesian elders, you know how I lived when I was among you. Practice. You've told me one of your favorite quotes is by Robert Murray McShane, where he said, it is not great talent God blesses, so much as great likeness to Jesus. A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God. Jared, on the authority of the Word of God, I charge you to be an awful weapon in the hand of God. I charge you to be a holy minister. I charge you to let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. On the authority of the Word of God, I charge you to practice. Jared, you are also called to proclaim. To proclaim. This isn't just part of our mission statement as a local church. This is something that's essential to your call. Paul says in verse 13, command and teach these things. That's verse 11. Command and teach these things. Then over in verse 13, he says as well, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. You're called to proclaim. And this call to proclaim finds its power and its potency most magnificently in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you're called to proclaim something in particular. You're called to proclaim the gospel. Therefore, on the authority of God's word, I charge you to preach the gospel, to proclaim the gospel. It is the essence of your role. It is the purpose of your appointment. It is the core of your calling. The substitutionary death of Jesus Christ must remain at the center of this local church. It must remain the sun in the solar system of doctrine that orbits around it. It must remain the hinge upon which the future of this church swings. You must proclaim the gospel. And that means helping people make gospel connections. That means helping these folks, make the connection between the gospel and their roles as moms and dads and wives and husbands, as singles. Making the connection between the gospel and marriage, the gospel and jobs, the gospel and parenting, the gospel and conflict, the gospel and their service in a small group or their service to the local church. Jared, it's about the gospel. It's the gospel that you've been called to. You're called to proclaim it. And what I love about you is I know that thrills your heart. My first memory of you was being asleep while I preached the gospel. At your father's church. And that was a sobering picture of his spiritual reality. And the folks over at Living Hope are saying, yeah, it was. But by God's grace, the gospel broke in and awakened you 12 years ago. And your call now is to proclaim that gospel. Your call now is to proclaim so that others like you might awaken by the gospel, so that others like you might be inspired by the gospel, so that others like you might delight in the gospel. So, buddy, you must proclaim. You must proclaim. To reference another one of your favorite quotes by Richard Sibbes. You can tell a lot about a man by the quotes that he loves. Richard Sibbes says, how are we changed to the image of Christ? It is by beholding the glory of Christ in the gospel. Jared, you must proclaim the gospel that others might behold the glory of Christ in the gospel. I charge you by the authority of God's word, proclaim the gospel. And finally, my friend, you are called to persist. You are called to persist. Verse 16, persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Jared, success in ministry isn't measured by a strong start. It's easy to have a strong start. Success in ministry isn't measured by a strong start, but by a faithful finish. Actually, strong starts are common. Strong starts are common because strong starts are easy. You have youth. You have adrenaline. You have your eyesight, your memory. They're all still under warranty. Good working order. But your call is not just to start, it's to persist. That means to endure. That means to persevere. And in the event we don't grasp the stakes, Paul says, by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Oh, you must persist. You have been entrusted with a remarkable group of elders to help you lead this church. For them, you must persist. Up ahead, just look up ahead a little bit. There's going to be trials. There will be heartache and opposition. There will be assaults from the enemy. You will face discouragement. You will face defections. Times where you will say to yourself, why go on? My friend, you must persist. You must do this because it will force you to become what your people need. You must do this because persistence does something in the life of a pastor. Persistence converts a hireling into a shepherd. Persistence converts an academic into a practitioner. Persistence tenderizes and seasons and forges a man into a pastor so that he can laugh with those who laugh, weep with those who weep, comfort the afflicted, and when necessary, afflict the comfortable. And he can do that for God's glory. So Jared, you must persist. Because your persistence says something about God. Your persistence will glorify God, and it will portray the durability of the gospel. That the gospel is not a one generation thing. That it's designed in such a way that it brings power to us. And it's a power that God wants to transmit to the next generation as well. So for your call, for your family, for the future of this church, Jared, you must persist. And I am convinced of this. You will persist. Because they're going to help you. And they're going to help you. And I'm going to help you. And by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. You must persist. Now, Jared, we have translated these three points into a list of commitments that you have already looked over and thought about, and you have expressed your desire to affirm them this morning before the eldership and before the people of Covenant Fellowship and the people of Living Hope. And so I'm going to read each one, and if you continue to want to affirm them, you can express your response by saying, I do. Jared, do you rely on Christ alone for your salvation and acceptance with God, And do you resolve to boast in nothing but his finished work on the cross alone?
I do.
Jared, do you endeavor to live a life worthy of the gospel in private and in public, being an example of devotion, faith, godliness, and maturity to this local congregation?
Yes, I do.
Do you promise to walk in humility before the elders and the church by pursuing unity, inviting input, counting others more significant than yourself, and acknowledging your weakness, that the power of Christ might be made known in you?
I do.
Do you promise to always guard the centrality of the gospel in Covenant Fellowship Church, and to maintain the purity and peace of the church as an elder, whatever opposition you may face?
I do.
Do you promise that you will not shrink back from declaring the whole counsel of God, but will feed the church by accurately and faithfully handling the Word of God, preaching and exhorting and reproving the church of God with love and patience?
I do.
Jared, do you promise to devote yourself to earnestly pray for the members of Covenant Fellowship Church, asking God to continue his work in their lives, thanking God for their partnership in the gospel, and rejoicing over his grace in their lives?
Yes, I do.
Do you promise to begin praying for your ultimate replacement in ministry, with the hope that one day identifying, training, and transferring your responsibilities to him so that Covenant Fellowship Church may continue to grow and mature in future generations for the glory and honor of God?
I do.
Do you agree to receive Covenant Fellowship Church as a sovereign grace church and will not move it in a direction that is inconsistent with the Covenant Fellowship Statement of Faith or the Sovereign Grace Ministry Statement of Faith?
I do.
Do you uphold the pastoral team affirmations that you have signed along with the rest of the pastoral team?
I do.
Jared, in view of that and your willingness to affirm those vows before God, I just want to return us to Paul's words where he says, practice these things. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. I'm so proud of you, buddy.
God has said to me, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Those words come to me today as very good news. Never have I felt more aware of my own weakness and inadequacies, and yet never have I felt more full of courage and confidence for the future. This is the paradox of gospel ministry. The more I'm aware of my weakness, the more I am aware of the power of Christ resting upon me, and the more I am convinced that I truly can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so as I accept this responsibility, I find myself on the one hand thinking, who is sufficient for these things? And simultaneously, what I'm saying today is my sufficiency is from God. His grace is sufficient for me, and I truly believe he has made me competent to carry out this charge of being a minister of the gospel as the senior pastor of Covenant Fellowship Church. I'm confident because, not because of anything about me. I'm confident in my calling because of the one who has called me. Forever he is faithful, forever he is strong, forever he is with us. This God has given us every reason in the world to be confident in his grace. By the grace of God, Dave has built this church on the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Dave, we are so grateful. And we thank you and we thank God for you for determining that the most important thing in this church will not be our moral and religious performance. The most important thing in this church has always been the message of what Jesus Christ has done for sinners. You have led us well. And I am so humbled and sobered by how you have trained me and by how you have helped me and by how you have, with confidence in God, entrusted this local congregation that we love to me and to my leadership. And you know what I have been praying? I've been praying that God would enable me to lead this church as faithfully and as effectively as you have led this church for the last 19 years. Thank you for your example and for your teaching and for the words that you reminded me of again today and for calling my attention once again to the primacy of the message of God's grace in the gospel. To the men on the pastoral team who have become my closest friends, you have been an immeasurable means of grace to me and to this church. I am aware in stepping into the responsibilities that I will have that I am in a position where I am going to be reaping from the harvest that you have sown. I am going to be speaking from a platform that you men have created and bearing the fruit that has been sown through years and years of ministry. This transition would not be possible without you men. This church would not exist without you men. And I would not have the faith in God that I do were I not surrounded by a team of men like you. And I thank God for you. I'm so, amen. Amen. As Dave talks about the, and he mentioned this, the challenges that that are sure to come in the future. As I think about the challenges and the joys in our future, what I find myself so grateful for is you men. And that whatever comes, we are in this together. Thank you. Mom and Dad, I love you. And how can I even begin to communicate the privilege of being raised in your home? You have trained me, you have cared for me, you have prayed for me. You've done so much to make me the person that I am today. Thanks for not giving up on me through those teenage years. I trust that you both feel God's pleasure today as you see the fruit of your labors. And to all of Living Hope Church, what an experience to have you here on this day. What a blessing it has been for Megan and I to be cared for by you, to be supported by you, and to have you here to celebrate this day with us and celebrate the faithfulness of God to us. Thank you. Megan, the love of my life. I could not do this without you by my side. And there is no one better suited to stand beside me and support me in this role than you. You are perfect for the job. I need a wife who can make my life a joy and bring laughter into my world. Someone who won't take me or herself too seriously. And yet I need a wife who is a deep thinker and a clear thinker and someone who I can talk to meaningfully about whatever theological things I am thinking through. I need a wife who is a steady person. She needs to have a strength and maturity of faith that enables her to be composed and completely unflustered at the thought of being a senior pastor's wife. And a mother of a handful of small children. This is the sort of woman that you are, Megan, and this is why you are the perfect woman for me. What a gift from God you are. You are everything that I could want in a wife and so much more, and I love you with all my heart. And to this church, Megan and I love this church. We love you. And I want you to know that you hold an unparalleled place in our hearts. This morning, Dave presented a gift to me. It was a book, my favorite book, bound in leather with some of those favorite quotes that he read earlier, bound in the beginning of the book. It's Charles Bridges' book, Two Pastors, called The Christian Ministry. This is what he says in this book, Two Pastors. He says, every time we look upon our congregation, let us believingly remember that they are the purchase of Christ's blood. And therefore, should be regarded by us with the deepest interest and the most tender affection. This is the affection that we have for you. This is the affection that I have for you. I think of all of your support, I think of your encouragement, I think of your enthusiasm expressed again today through your applause. I think of all the people who have pulled me aside and have looked me in the eyes and communicated their excitement about this and support of what God is doing. What an incredible church you are, and how blessed and how rich I am and my family is, even to be a part of this church. We simply can't imagine it anywhere else. We never want to be anywhere else. I want you to know that we are very much here to settle and to build along with you. I love thinking about my kids growing up alongside your kids. And I love thinking about the gospel being taken to a generation beyond my own, to children and to children yet unborn, which is so much of what this transition is about. It's what the psalmist says, we will not hide them from the coming generation, but tell them the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders he has done. So I want to ask you to please pray for me, be holding me in your prayers. Pray for our marriage and our parenting. Pray for my leadership and my preaching. I am certain that I will not be fruitful in life and ministry apart from your prayers. And so I ask that you pray for me. The commitments that I made before God and before all of you today are no empty affirmations. I want you to know that I do promise to always guard the centrality of the gospel in this church. I want you to know that I will not shrink back from declaring the whole counsel of God. I will devote myself to the ministry of the word and prayer. I will not be distracted by things that do not play an essential part in my duties as senior pastor. I will pay careful attention to my own life and to the flock, which has been bought with the blood of Christ. And I will proclaim, I will exhort and charge and encourage and correct and lead you from God's word, both in this pulpit and out. The Apostle Paul summarized his ministry to the church in Corinth by saying this, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech and wisdom." In other words, there wasn't anything impressive about his ministry from a worldly standpoint. There wasn't any wow factor in his methodology. Not lofty speech and wisdom, "for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is my resolve as well. I have decided to know nothing among you except the message of Jesus Christ crucified in the place of sinful man, enduring the just punishment of God for all who trust in him. That is the good news that has shaped who we are. That is the good news that has changed our lives and defined who we are as a church, and that is the message by the grace of God that will continue to shape us and transform us and define who we are as a church long into the future. I have no greater joy than to see the fruit of that message, the gospel, bearing fruit in your lives. And it is my great privilege to lead you, and therefore, with my confidence placed fully in the grace and the power of God, I most gladly agree to serve you as your senior pastor. Thank you.
Let me ask you to go ahead and take your seats. At this time, we are going to pray over Jared. In fact, I want to go ahead and invite Megan to come up, and I want to invite Ken Mellinger, Jared's father, to join us as well. We're going to bring Jared over into the middle here, and the guys are going to stand, and we're going to lay hands on Jared, and we're going to ordain him, and we're going to install him. So this is, having prayed, we thought God was saying, go for a twofer. So we're getting an ordination and an installation. For the benefit of our guests, those that are new here or aren't as familiar with Covenant Fellowship or Sovereign Grace, for a man to be ordained into ministry, there is an extensive evaluation process that goes on behind the scenes of his character and his marriage, The evaluation goes into areas of preaching, areas of ministry competence. If things are going well there, then he'll be invited to take a written exam. And Jared has taken that written exam, and I think he scored a 95 on it. So we were a little disappointed by that. We were. Jared got the academic award at the Pastor's College, didn't you? So we had high expectations, didn't you? Or did you just tell us that? Did you get it? Yes? Okay, yes. He got the academic award. So we informed him that he was on the bubble. And that if he didn't deliver in the oral exam, then we might have to reconsider. And this morning would have been spent in a completely different way. I'd be preaching right now about something or another. Jared received a 98 on his oral exam. And in that process, though, we were talking to you all. And we were engaging you in community groups and engaging the community group leaders and making announcements and creating meetings where Jared and Megan could sit and field questions, because we wanted you to get to know them sufficient for you to be able to add your yes and amen to what we sensed God was calling us to do. You've done that. You've done your part. We've done our part. God has led us, brothers and sisters, and God has been exceedingly good to us. And now, for the glory of God and the good of Covenant Fellowship Church, we're going to be ordaining and installing Jared. So guys, why don't you join me and let us lay hands upon Jared. And Ken, you come around front, please. And let's pray. Lord, we are humbled at this moment as a church, because we are reminded that when you rose from the dead and ascended on high, you gave gifts to men. You gave gifts of men, that some would be called to be pastors and teachers, and that this man and his wife represents to this church a gift from the risen Christ. And Lord, what a joy it is for us to be able to stand before you, having engaged in a process that had real integrity, that evaluated him thoroughly, and that found him to be capable and called of God to serve in this capacity. So Lord, it is with great faith and great confidence, it is with an awareness that you stand with us and have drawn us forward in this, that we now lay hands upon Jared.
Yes.
We ordain him into gospel ministry.
Yes.
We set him apart, symbolically, recognizing that you have already set him apart. And we lay hands upon him and ask you to empower him through your Holy Spirit for the tasks that you have called him to. We ordain him in this moment and ask you to bless him.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, thank God. You,
God. And install him as our senior pastor.
Yes.
Actually, Lord, we believe that this is done in the heavens, and we're simply doing something that you have already called us to do. And so we thank you for the work that you've done in making this plain to us as a church. And we pray you would grant him now every gift he needs. Every burden he needs, every kindness and care that he needs to be able to shepherd God's flock here at Covenant Fellowship Church, to lead this team, every insight, every wisdom. Lord, we pray that you would grant it to him, that he might lead your church for your glory. It is to that purpose that we ordain and install him in this moment.
But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations. Lord, what we have witnessed this morning is an expression of your grace, your faithfulness, and your commitment to glorify your name.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for your grace, which has saved and transformed Jared's life. Yes. We pray now, Lord, for that same grace to sustain him.
Yes,
God.
Lord, we pray that you would give him grace to practice, to proclaim, and to persist.
Yes. Yes.
We ask these things in accordance with your will, that your name might be glorified.
Yes, glorify your name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Give me a hug, buddy. I'm going to give you the opportunity in just a few minutes to unleash on Jared and Megan, but there's a couple other things that we need to take care of. So I want to invite the pastoral team to leave the stage, and Ken to leave with them. Jared and Megan, you can have a seat right over here, and Mark is now going to lead the congregation in their affirmations.
Hasn't this been a wonderful, historic, God-glorifying morning so far? Hasn't it? The charge that Dave gave from 2 Timothy 4 to Jared just a few moments ago, and the commitments that Jared received speak of his responsibility to lead this pastoral team and to lead and care for us as a church family. However, Scripture is very clear that we as church members have responsibilities as well. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." And those are words written to the members of the church. See, it's actually to our advantage as members of Covenant Fellowship to fulfill our responsibility to follow and pray for and support and serve and encourage Jared as he now leads the pastoral team. And he now leads and cares for us. And our responsibility is to make that labor for him a real joy. And as an expression of our commitment as members to fulfill these responsibilities, we've written 4 congregational affirmations. Those affirmations can be found in the card that you received as you arrived in the auditorium. We're also going to place those affirmations on the screens as well. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask 4 members of our church who will represent all of us to read those affirmations. And so if I could invite these 4 people to come forward to the mics on either side of the stage. First of all, I want to invite Alan Redrup. Alan was a part of the original church planning team and for years served on the pastoral team here. And he continues to faithfully serve this church as he leads an alpha group. So, Alan, if you would come. Michelle Smith has been here from the beginning. She's been here as a little girl with her family who joined in 1986, and she's never left. And she continues to serve the church as the director for the Backstage Players in Promised Kingdom, serving our children. She's on our drama team, and she sings in the worship team for Thrive. So, Michelle, if you would come as well. Dave Fournier became a member here in 1994, and he has served the singles ministry in numerous ways. He's led community groups. He's led worship in various contexts. And again, David is serving by leading an alpha group. So, Dave, if you would come. And lastly, David Mayenja. He and his wife Carol and their family became members here in 1996, And as many of you know, David now serves Doug Hayes and Covenant Mercies with a number of international responsibilities. So David, if you would come now. Now, if I could ask all of you to stand. Each of these four folks are going to represent us in reading one affirmation. After they read that affirmation, we will respond with either the words "we do" or "we will," as noted on the card or on the screen. And when we say those words, we are committing to fulfill our responsibility as well. So, Alan, if you would go first.
This before the one who hears. Do you, the members of Covenant Fellowship Church, acknowledge and publicly receive Jared Mellinger as your senior pastor and as a gift of Christ to this church?
We do. Will you love Jared and pray for him and his family and his ministry, that by the grace of God we might together serve each other and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ?
We will.
Will you support Jared as he leads the pastoral team in keeping watch over your soul, so that his ministry might be a blessing to the church and a joy to his soul?
We will.
Will you give Jared the honor and respect befitting the position of senior pastor to which the Lord has called him, so that our great shepherd might receive all the glory and honor?
We will.
You may have your seats, and on behalf of the pastoral team, thank you for being faithful to keep those commitments.
This church began in 1984, when Bill Patton led a small group of people that were part of a church planting team up to the Philadelphia area and started a church. The church was named Covenant Fellowship Church, and that's the very church you're sitting in this morning. Bill was the first senior pastor of this church. Alan Redrup was an interim senior pastor for about 5 or 6 months, but I've elected not to bring Alan up on the stage and to recognize Bill as the first senior pastor and myself as the second senior pastor. But we've had plenty of opportunity to communicate our love and affection to Alan and Linda for all the ways that they've served over the years. In just a second, I want to pronounce Jared the new senior pastor of Covenant Fellowship, but to join me in that task, I want to ask the first senior pastor of Covenant Fellowship to come up on the stage and to join me. So would Bill Patton please come up? Well, this is one of those moments where I think words escape both of us because of the goodness of God to Covenant Fellowship Church and the goodness of God to us to have shared the privilege of being able to lead you. And so it seems to, it just seems to be an extraordinary compliment from God and blessing from God to allow us to be the ones to say on behalf of the first senior pastor of Covenant Fellowship Church and the second senior pastor of Covenant Fellowship Church, we would like to introduce you to the third senior pastor of Covenant Fellowship Church, Jared Mellinger and his wife, Megan. At this point, I'm going to go ahead and invite Jared and Megan to leave the stage, and Bill, you as well. And we've asked Andy to take a few moments and just try to summarize some of the things that God is doing among us. And then after Andy comes, We've asked Marty to come and close the meeting in prayer.
So, how you doing, boss? You know, this is worth wearing a suit for. We're not gonna have to do this next week, are we? It's okay. Good, thank you. You have my full support now. No. Singing Great Is Thy Faithfulness earlier, there's a line, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Great is the faithfulness of our God. That's what we find. Dave has been strength for today. Jared, you are a bright hope for tomorrow. And God is faithful. If you're here, and this is your first time, and you've never seen something like this, let me point out to you something very important. In the vast scheme of things, this is a very small flock of very ordinary people loved by a very good God. And what you experience today is the mercy of God on people who do not deserve his goodness. We are here because he loved those he should have judged. And that's the gospel. If you've heard anything today, let us remember that this has no significance at all if not for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this matters in heaven. And so you've been able to participate in something that God is pleased to have his name associated with. Not because of us, not because of Dave, not because of Jared, not because of you, because God is merciful and kind. And so I'm going to have the dean of the pastoral team, Marty Machowski, come up and turn our attention back to the God who is worthy of all honor and praise and glory today.
Let's pray. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. This day, O God, has been a tremendous kindness to us. We thank you that through the years, you have always given us just the right senior pastor to lead us. We ask, Lord God, that you would bless Dave and Kim as they move on. And we ask, O God, that you would bless Jared and Megan as they move in to join us. Would you bless this church, O Lord, and help to keep us always looking to you. And for this day, we seal it as we did Friday night. All of the glory, all of the honor, all of the majesty, the wonder, the delight of this day and this moment in our history, we give back to you. For apart from your grace, none of us would be here to enjoy it. and we know this full well. Let this day forever be a marker, like a pile of stones of the days of old, that when we look back upon its assembly, we would say, God did this for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.